The UN climate conference, COP28, ended in Dubai with an agreement that, for the first time, nearly 200 countries will transition away from fossil fuels to get to net zero by 2050, by tripling renewable capacity over the next decade and investing in carbon capture technology. Sultan Al-Jaber, president of the COP, called it historic.
Our task was to build on the foundations that others have laid for us. And I tell you, what we have built together will stand the test of time.
But many wanted stronger language, promising the phasing out of fossil fuels. While all of this was being hammered out, a new focus emerged at the conference: health. Alejandra Barunda covers health and climate at NPR and followed COP28 closely. I had a chance to talk with her about it recently. This is the first year that health has been on the agenda at the UN Climate Conference in a big way. Why now?
For a long time, kind of the climate community and the health community were working a little bit separately on the same questions, but in separate spaces. And in the last couple of years, particularly as climate outcomes and climate impacts have just gotten so much more obvious, they've really started to work together. Heat is a totally different thing now. 2023 is almost certainly going to be the hottest year we have ever experienced on the planet. And that's having these outcomes that are really, really impactful on people's lives. The heat waves that we're experiencing now, they are hurting people and they're killing people.
How else is climate change impacting health and health systems around the globe?
Heat is the most obvious way that we see climate change kind of impacting people's bodies and their health in particular. It's also the thing we have kind of the best science about. There's a very direct link, like more carbon dioxide in the atmosphere makes the planet warmer and makes heat waves much more intense. But there are a lot of other ways that health is impacted as well. One very obvious one is that many people in the U.S. and across the East Coast in particular will know now, is that it makes wildfires more likely and more intense often when they happen. And so, like we experienced this summer, wildfire smoke is a huge problem. And one of the stats that really kind of blows my mind is that wildfire smoke in the U.S. has undone about two decades of progress that we've made on air quality. The other big one that I think about a lot is disease transmission. So as things get warmer, and particularly as winters get less cold, there's a lot more ability of disease vectors, like ticks, for example, or mosquitoes, to spread into places that they have not been before. And that is really expanding the range of a lot of what are called vector-borne diseases, or people in the business call them climate-sensitive diseases. So we saw a case of locally acquired dengue fever in California this year, where I live, which was just kind of wild, honestly. And as people in the Northeast will know all too well, Lyme disease is just expanding like crazy, partly because the ticks are just so much happier because it's not getting cold enough to kill them anymore.
December 3rd was Health Day at COP28. Did anything significant come out of that?
In the past, there's really only been a handful of health ministers that have ever come to this conference. And that's been a really big problem. I spoke with a lot of folks in the health world who said that they've been hoping and trying to figure out how to get their health ministries more involved. But there's just been these silos, like the environment ministers were coming to COP, but not the health ministers. And so this year, on that health day, there was what they were calling a ministerial, so just a big meeting. And there were dozens of health ministers there from all over the world. And they all got together and gave these little 2-minute long speeches, essentially. And it was actually really powerful to listen to, because you just heard these same experiences from health minister after health minister. The health minister from the Philippines had this really clear example of how several of their hospitals had gotten damaged in a typhoon. And so they are in the process of moving some of their health centers into different parts of the country that are going to be less potentially impacted by climate-related disasters like typhoons or sea level rise.
There was some sort of declaration where a lot of countries sort of signed on and said, you know, health was a priority for them. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, that was also a really big symbolic move at this year's conference. I think at this point, the count is over 140. It's still kind of a moving target. More countries are signing on. It's non-binding, you know, it's kind of a statement rather than anything that's formally incorporated into the negotiation text. But it's a really big step forward, basically to show the world and to show the leadership at COP and in these discussions that the climate community and the health community are aligned and that they see this very clear connection. I think one of the points that health folks often make, and that's really powerful, is that the primary driver of climate change is humans burning fossil fuels and building up excess CO2 emissions, essentially, most of the time, in the atmosphere. And of course, we get all the problems that come from that, the heat waves, the wildfires, the intensified storms. But there's also very direct health costs of simply burning those fossil fuels. So the health community's kind of goal in this declaration was to be like, look, if we stop burning fossil fuels, we will stop polluting the air. And the air pollution from the burning of fossil fuels kills millions of people every year.
Do you think that health ended up taking up as much space as advocates would have wanted during the talks?
Most of the people I spoke with were really, really pleased with how the first half of this meeting went, at least for the health community. There was much more attention than had ever been given to health. And there was a lot of interest from negotiators to hear from them and to learn how to take the messages that the health community was giving them into the negotiations so they could, you know, build their own knowledge base, really. There are some new mentions of health and well-being in some of the texts, which is really welcome. But one of the folks I spoke to basically made the point that unless there actually is a commitment to phasing out fossil fuel use quickly and on a really clear timeline, everything else is just kind of window dressing.
So what's next?
Many of the folks that I've been speaking with, they're kind of in the next steps already. And so they're looking at ways to basically cement and continue the conversation. The World Health Assembly will be coming up in a couple months. And so they really want to use that space to reconvene and talk about what's happened at this meeting and think about what to do next year and make sure that the momentum that they built this year really continues. I've spoken with so many, mostly young, some older, doctors and medical professionals who are working on this in their own hospitals. They're going home and trying to figure out how to help their hospital system decarbonize or use less plastic or do anything to kind of address their part of the problem. And so I think there's this really wonderful kind of multi-level approach that a lot of the health community is taking. And it's like, first, work in your own community and help the people that you see every day and that you're here to serve. Then help the system, your hospital, the hospital network, figure out how to be less of the problem. And then, of course, like, take that even farther. Go to their state assemblies, go to work on the national level in the U.S., and then come back next year and do this all over again and see what happens.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. It's been really great to talk.
Alejandra Barunda is a health and climate reporter at NPR. We'll have more on how climate change is impacting health coming up. You're listening to The Allegheny Front. I'm Carol Holsapple.